Welcome back to the Deep Dive. Today we're tackling something pretty urgent, actually. A cybersecurity threat that's, well, happening right now.
Yeah, it's hitting real organizations.
Exactly. It's all about this major vulnerability in a pretty common IT management tool, Simple Help RMM. And we know it's already led to ransomware attacks.
It's definitely active.
So to get our heads around this, we've waded through, you know, the security alerts, the tech breakdowns, advisories from places like CISA, the usual deep dive sources.
All right, piecing it all together.
Our mission here is basically to cut through all that, unpack what this vulnerability really is, why it's frankly so dangerous, who needs to be worried, and most importantly, what you absolutely must do, like right now.
Getting straight to the actionable stuff.
Yeah, distilling it down.
Yeah.
Fast. Okay, let's unpack this. So the core problem, it's this specific flaw, CVE-2024-57727.
Mm-hmm.
And what really stands out from the sources is this isn't just theory, right? It hits Simple Help RMM versions 5.5.7 and older. And attackers, they've been exploiting it since January 2025.
Yeah, they didn't hang about. And technically, what makes this one particularly nasty is that it's a path traversal vulnerability.
Path traversal. Okay, what does that mean in like plain English?
Well, think of it like this. A web app is supposed to keep you in certain folders, right, for safety. Path traversal is like finding a hidden hallway that lets you walk outside those folders.
So you can get to files anywhere else on the server, not just the web stuff.
Exactly. And the sources spell out what that lets attackers do. They can grab sensitive config files, maybe find usernames, passwords.
Ah, credentials, the keys to the kingdom.
Precisely. That lets them get unauthorized access. And from there, if that Simple Help server manages other machines, well, they can use those credentials to hop onto those systems.
Moving laterally.
Right. And the end game, often deploying ransomware across all those connected systems.
Wow. And we're already seeing this. This isn't hypothetical. One source mentioned a big utility billing software company got hit because of this.
Yeah, that example is really significant. It turns an attack on one tool into a potential supply chain attack.
How so?
Well, you compromise the billing company, which uses Simple Help. Then potentially you could use their access to get to their customers. It just cascades downwards.
Affecting potentially loads of organizations, maybe even critical services if they're customers.
Exactly. It multiplies the impact. That's why it's so serious.
And the authorities, they're definitely sounding the alarm. CISA added this CVE, the 57727 one, to its KEV list. That's the known exploited vulnerabilities catalog.
Right. On February 13th, 2025.
And when it hits the KEV list, that means, you know, stop thinking if, start thinking when or now.
It means active exploitation is confirmed. CISA's advisory really stressed the urgency, didn't it? Especially for critical infrastructure.
Okay, so how did the attackers actually string this together? They find a vulnerable server, use the path traversal. Then what? How does it get to ransomware?
Well, the methodology laid out in the analyses is pretty consistent once they get that initial access. They scan the internet for exposed Simple Help instances, the vulnerable ones.
Step one. Find a target.
Yep. Then step two, exploit that path traversal flaw to get file system access.
Getting into those directories they shouldn't be in.
Exactly. Next up is often credential harvesting. They pull authentication details out of those config files they just accessed.
Got it. The usernames, passwords, maybe API keys.
Things like that. Then comes the lateral movement. Using those stolen credentials to log into the client systems managed by Simple Help.
The spreading out.
And the final step, usually, is deploying the ransomware payload onto those systems they've reached. Encryption, ransom notes, the whole deal.
And there was that extra twist mentioned.
Yeah.
Double extortion. Sounds bad.
Oh, yeah. That's becoming more common, unfortunately. It's not just encrypting your files anymore.
What else?
They steal sensitive data before they encrypt. So if you refuse to pay the ransom to get your files back, they threaten to leak your stolen data publicly.
Ugh. So it's operational disruption and a potential data breach crisis.
Exactly. It puts huge pressure on victims to pay up.
Okay, so this is happening now. If you're running Simple Help RMM, what is the absolute first thing you need to do? How do you even know if you're vulnerable?
Right, identification first. The sources are clear here. You need to check your Simple Help RMM version. Find the serverconfig.xml file.
Where's that usually?
Typically, it's in the Simple Help installation directory under Simple Help configuration. Open that XML file, look right at the top for the version number.
And the danger zone is?
Version 5.5.7 or anything earlier. If you see that, you need to act immediately.
And it's not just checking the server itself, is it? You mentioned endpoints too.
Correct. You should also check where the Simple Help client or agent might be installed on the machines it manages. The paths vary a bit by OS.
Oh.
For Windows, it's usually in the user's app data folder, %PPDataPay, %JWrapper remote access. For Linux, look in OpJWrapper remote access. And on a Mac, it's library application support JWrapper remote access.
Got it. Check those spots too.
It helps understand the potential scope if a compromise happened.
Okay, so let's say someone does the check. They find version 5.5.7 or say 5.5.6. What are the absolute must-do right now steps according to the advisories?
No messing around here. First, isolate those vulnerable servers, take them offline, disconnect them from the internet, and ideally segment them from your internal network too.
Pull the plug, basically.
Pretty much. Second, stop the Simple Help service processes running on any affected machine. Just halt the software.
Okay.
Third, and this is crucial, upgrade. Get the latest supported version of Simple Help installed, following the vendor's own instructions carefully. Don't just patch, get the newest stable release.
Right, leapfrog the problem version entirely.
Exactly. And finally, while you're doing that, improve network segmentation around where these servers live.
Mm-hmm.
Make it harder for anything nasty to spread laterally just in case something got in before you isolated it.
Okay, that covers the immediate, like firefighting. What about stepping back? Longer term fixes and prevention. The sources talked about more, right?
Yeah, they definitely did. Beyond the immediate patch and isolate, there are advanced steps. Things like deploying continuous network monitoring, eyes on the network, looking for weird traffic, odd connections.
Spotting trouble early.
Yeah. Also, active threat hunting. Don't just wait for alerts. Proactively search your logs and systems for indicators of compromise. Maybe look for suspicious executables attackers might have dropped. Sometimes they use really generic names like AA.exe or XYZ.exe. The sources mention that pattern.
Weird three-letter executables. Okay, noted.
And verifying system integrity, making sure core files haven't been tampered with.
What about just good basic security hygiene? This whole thing seems to expose gaps there too.
Oh, absolutely. It's a perfect example of why fundamentals matter. Asset management is huge. You can't patch or protect what you don't know you have. So having a really good current inventory of all your IT assets is step one.
Makes sense. You need to know where Simple Help is to update it.
Exactly. And then there's backup and recovery. Here's where it gets really interesting, especially with ransomware.
Yeah, the sources really hammered this point home. Said it's the most effective defense.
They did. And not just any backups. They specified regular offline backups, stored completely separate from your live network so ransomware can't reach them.
Air-gapped or immutable storage, maybe?
Precisely. And having tested your recovery procedures, know how long it takes to restore, have it documented, multiple copies, different media, different locations. That ability to actually restore your systems is what truly neutralizes a ransomware attack.
Takes away their leverage.
Completely. And thinking back to that utility company example, that supply chain risk. Third-party risk management is another big one.
Right. Trusting your vendors.
Yeah, especially vendors whose tools have privileged access, like RMMs.
Yeah.
You need to evaluate their security practices, review them regularly, have clear security requirements in your contracts, and monitor the connections they have into your network. You inherit their risk to some extent. And if you look at the bigger picture, this whole Simple Help mess, it really shines a light on, well, several industry-wide issues.
Yeah.
Well, obviously, supply chain security. We saw how one compromised tool can ripple outwards. Then there's critical infrastructure vulnerability. A lot of essential services rely on tools like this. So a flaw can have, you know, public safety or economic consequences.
Big stakes.
Huge. And then there are the regulatory and compliance headaches. If you get hit, you've got breach notification duties, CISA, FBI, they want to know promptly, plus potential fines, lawsuits, massive business disruption costs. It gets complicated fast.
So pulling it all together, beyond just fixing this one Simple Help issue, what are the sort of overarching best practices the sources recommend to just generally avoid this kind of thing?
Good question. Several key themes came through. First, just excellence in patch management. Know your software inventory, scan for vulnerabilities automatically, have clear timelines for deploying patches, and this is important, test patches before you roll them out everywhere.
Don't let the cure be worse than the disease.
Right. Second, robust network security architecture. Think layers of defense. network segmentation to contain breaches if they happen. Zero trust principles, especially for powerful remote access tools. Don't just trust connections, verify constantly.
Least privilege, all that.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Continuous monitoring of network traffic, regular security assessments, penetration testing, finding the holes before the bad guys do.
Makes sense.
What else?
And finally, the human element. Never forget that. Comprehensive employee training. Teach people to spot phishing, social engineering, how to handle suspicious emails or calls, what the procedure is for reporting something weird, secure practices for remote work. It all adds up.
So to kind of wrap this part up for you listening, we've dug into a very specific, very real, actively exploited vulnerability. We've seen the serious fallout, including those supply chain ripples, and we've laid out, based on the expert sources, what you need to check, what you need to do immediately, and how to build better defenses long term. Hopefully that gives you the core knowledge you need quickly. Thanks for joining us for this deep dive.
Yeah, thanks. It's incidents like this, you know, the supply chain aspect, how quickly a common tool was turned against its users. It just really drives home how interconnected everything is.
Yeah, no kidding.
Even software you use every day, rely on, it can harbor these critical risks. Vigilance isn't just about spotting malware, it's about the tools themselves. It kind of leaves you with a tricky question, doesn't it? We need these powerful remote management tools to run complex IT systems efficiently, but we also know they're prime targets, and supply chain attacks are real. So how do organizations really build and critically maintain trust in the security of all the software they rely on, especially when even the authorities are playing catch-up, issuing alerts about active exploits? Well, it's a tough balance between operational need and that absolute security imperative. Something to think about.
Absolutely. Stay vigilant out there, use this knowledge, and keep digging for understanding. Stay curious.